standing on the promises of Christ my Savior.
Of May, Memorial Day weekend. Oh, that works. That works. Okay. So we're glad you're here. Let's start this morning by, If you are a visitor here and you've got one of the bulletins, how about tearing off this sheet that's on the bulletin and fill it out for us, and we can put it in the offering plates. Larry, will you go grab offering plates? They'll be right up here on the front, and you put it in there at the end of the service so that we can have a record of your visit. Now, there's several announcements in your bulletin this morning. The first one, Daddy put the flowers in here for Memorial Day in memory of those who've served and lost their lives for our country. So that's what Memorial Day is all about, to remember those that gave their lives so that we can live in freedom, and we thank those that have served. Next Saturday morning, June 5th, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a men's prayer breakfast at the community center right there beside the police station. 7 o'clock, come join us for breakfast and time of prayer. Okay, so if you need any more information on that, see Chris. Vacation Bible School starts next Sunday evening. Y'all, I am so excited. We have such a good time with Vacation Bible School, and Ashley's been working hard to get all that together, and we're going to put one, wherever. Ashley's been working hard at that. If you have not volunteered or been contacted and you want to help, you want to do something, contact Ashley. She will find a place for you, and it's going to be a good week next week, Vacation Bible School. Birthdays, you see that, and anniversaries on the bulletin, so we'll go with that. And anybody else have any particular announcement that we need to make concerning whatever? I will say, if you notice, we've got some of the choir back in here. If you wanted to join the choir, now's your time. Because we're not singing, okay? You can just come sit with us.
Nan.
So, if you want to join the choir, now's the chance. Now, we are going to start singing again sometime, but now's the chance where you can come sit with us and enjoy what's going on and see the rest of y'all from here. Joe, she's going to say you in a minute, so you might as well get ready. So, anyway, we're with that. Okay, prayer requests this morning. We've had several in our Sunday school class, and maybe you can add some more to it here in a minute. Certainly, we need to remember Collier Gleaton, Miss Denise Stewart. Well, she was a Harris. What was her name last name? Wilburn. Denise Wilburn. I knew it was there somewhere. Mr. Talmadge Fincher, James Weaver from the John Deere place in Blakely. Royce Brookins, which is Ashley's granddaddy. He's in Miller County now in Swing Bed. Okay. We need to remember our search team as they are continuing to work. And we need to pray for rain. We certainly need rain for our crops and our farmers. And y'all know that with us living in this agricultural area. Are there any other prayer requests anybody had in their Sunday school classes that I didn't get in our Sunday school class? Anything in particular anybody knows of? Bertha Walker, okay. Walton, or Walker, that's what I said to begin with. All right, Miss Bertha Walker from Edison. Miss Julie Nobles, Chris, you mentioned that. We had any updates since Wednesday night? Ashley, y'all heard anything? Issues. Like Julie Nobles, if y'all don't know, her husband Ben, they were here for a while. He coached and taught down at SGA and worked with our youth there. And they moved to New York, I think, but now they're in North Carolina. She had some kind of a reaction from a shot and created Bell's palsy. What's the other thing? Kind of paralyzed one side. of our body. And I think that's a temporary, we're not sure. Don't know exactly. But anyway, we certainly need to remember them. Okay. Anybody else? Anything? No? Y'all got anything? We're good? All right, let's open then with a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for another day that we can come to your house and worship you, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship in a free country. We thank you for the men and women who have given their lives over the years so that we can live in a free country and we can gather together. And Lord, we just pray you'll remember them, remember their families, and help us to remember them as we go throughout this weekend and throughout our lives. Lord, you've heard the ones that have been mentioned in prayer request, and we just ask that you be with each person. Be with the doctors and the nurses that deal with them, Lord, and we just ask your blessings upon them. We thank you for Brother Chris and Miss Iris as they've come to minister to us, and that they will lead us as we're in this interim time. We pray for our search team, Lord, as they seek the one that you've got for us and that you will continue to be with them. Lord, we ask that if it be your will, you'll send rain on our land so that our crops can grow and our water supply can be replenished. Lord, we're so dependent on you for everything, and yet many times we don't say thank you. But Lord, we do thank you for everything you do for us. Be with us throughout this day, throughout this week. Lord, forgive us for the many times when we fail you, for it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. All right. Jamie is going to come lead us in a couple of songs this morning, and then we'll go with Brother Chris after that. So,
okay.
It's up to y'all.
Good morning. I've been wanting to do this for a little bit, and I just couldn't really get it together. But we got it together today. We almost didn't because we had some technical problems. So if the songs stop, we will start again, and we will just keep going. But I just wanted to sing, so... Sing, please sing. This is not a solo. Please sing with me. And you can stand up if you want to. slow it down with the next one.
That the highest king would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, his a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Through the sky set free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I
those are Honey Nut Cheerios too, right? That's what I'm talking about. Well, good morning. It is good to see everybody today. What a beautiful Sunday morning, is it not? And it's good to be in the Lord's house. Just a couple of things. I really love Vacation Bible School. In my 45 years of ministry, I have been a part of Vacation Bible School, playing with the kids, teaching the kids, having a good time with the kids. I have had pies thrown in my face. I was in a dunking booth one time, and I came out like a wet rat when those little rascals got through with me. But Vacation Bible School, and let me tell you one thing about VBS. Every year, you know, we have those statistics that come out through them from the Southern Baptist Convention, where all of our churches send in their reports and they compile those reports. And they tell us every year that the one event in church life in which more people are saved, more people have make professions of faith in Jesus Christ, is during Vacation Bible School, believe it or not. And so it is a wonderful evangelistic event, as well as teaching, of obviously, the children more about the Lord and about how much He loves them and He cares for them. So I would encourage you, even if you're not involved in Vacation Bible School as far as being here and being a teacher or having some responsibility in Vacation Bible School, I would certainly encourage you to pray for Vacation Bible School. And I know you have been already praying for your VBS, but really make it in the next few days. Give yourself to a time of intensive prayer, praying for those who are leading the children, who will be with the children, and praying for the children themselves. Also, I know in a couple of weeks or so, we'll be having some Sunday night Bible studies, and I love Sunday night Bible studies. And I've been praying and asking the Lord to give me some guidance and direction as to what we will do on Sunday nights and how we will proceed on Sunday nights. I love studying the Word of God, and I love teaching the Word of God. And so I think what we're going to do in our initial study on Sunday nights is we're going to do a study of where we are now according to the timeline of the Bible. Well, we all want to know where we are according to the timeline of the Bible and what's coming next. Now, if you want to talk about present reality and future prophecy, that's what we'll be talking about. And what I do in Bible studies is I just study the Bible. We do some good old-fashioned down home, getting in there, looking at what words mean, what phrases mean, and how a Bible verse fits into the context of the Bible. So be praying for that and praying about that. I love church on Sunday night. In my ministry over the years, I have seen many people come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ on Sunday nights, and we seem to be a little more relaxed on Sunday night than we are on Sunday morning. So be praying about that, and you'll be hearing more about that. All right, if you will take your Bibles this morning, and I invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 18 this morning and go down through verse 32. We'll complete the chapter of the book of Romans. And this morning, as it is Memorial Day weekend, I do want to focus a little bit on what's happening in our culture, what's happening in our society, as well as reflect upon the meaning of Memorial Day and the importance of remembering those who in the history of our nation have made the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedom and our values. My father was a World War II veteran. He survived the war and obviously and came back and lived as a farmer in South Georgia. But I always admired my father and his service to our country, and he didn't talk a whole lot about it. I tried to get some things out of him about it, but you know, some of those veterans really don't like to talk about their experiences. But I've always held in great esteem those who serve our country in the military. And of course, there are those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. And there are those today who are on the front lines in places of danger, defending America. And on Memorial Day, not only is it fitting, of course, to remember those who have given their lives for our country, but to remember those who continue to serve and who are on the front lines. And so we'll talk a little bit about America and what I believe is the greatest need that our nation has. So let's read Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Memorial Day is a solemn day in which we remember and honor those in the history of our nation who have made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our freedom. National holidays, I believe, are good days to reflect upon the state of our nation. And there are times when a pastor will feel compelled by God to apply what the Bible says to what is happening in our culture and in the society around us. As you read the Old Testament, you will discover that almost all of the Old Testament prophets and many of the writers of the New Testament spoke to what was happening in the culture and in the world around them. In the past, I have preached a series of sermons that I call hot potato sermons. And in those sermons, what I do is I take the Word of God and I apply the Bible to some of the more controversial subjects in our society. Usually those hot potato sermons sometimes get me into hot water as a preacher. The reactions that I receive from those sermons are mostly positive, but not always. Some people don't like what the Bible has to say about some of the things that are happening in our culture and in our society. I never try to make the Bible say what I want it to say. And I never try to make the Bible say what it does not say. That is not my job. My job is to let the Bible speak and let the Bible say what it says. I don't speak on politics, politicians, or political parties. I can assure you today that God is not a Democrat. He is not a Republican. God is the King. He is the Creator. God is the Sovereign of the universe. God is not running for office. God is in charge of all that there is. And it really does not matter what politicians or political parties say on a particular issue. What matters is what God says on that issue in His Word. Because what God says is right. What God says is true. What God says is timeless. And in the end, what God says in His Word will be the basis for how God will judge all of our lives. I am not a pessimist. I am not an extremist. I am not an alarmist by nature. When it comes to what is happening in our country, I don't try to overreact. I don't try to be overly dramatic. I try to be a realist. But like many Bible-believing Christians today, I am very concerned about what is happening, many of the trends, the movements, and the developments that are happening in our country today. I am very concerned that in many ways our nation is increasingly turning its back on the God of the Bible. And it is the God of the Bible who made the founding of this nation possible. And it is the God of the Bible who has protected this nation and blessed this nation throughout its history. We have a revisionist thing going on now with the history of our country, changing the history of America to be what it is not. Whether you are a person or a nation, when you turn your back on God, the God who made you, the God who gave you life, the God who has blessed you, when you turn your back on God, the result is never good. I believe the greatest need that our nation has today is for a spiritual, life-changing, heaven-sent revival from Almighty God. And I believe that unless that revival happens very soon, our nation is going to be in very serious trouble if we're not already there. I'm afraid that there's a line somewhere out there in the future of America, a line of no return. And I pray that our nation has not reached that line, and I pray that we will not. While we need to be realistic about the concerns of America, we also need to be realistic about what is good and right about America. America has its problems, our nation has its problems, but America is still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Now, there are a lot of media outlets who all they want to do is tell you what's wrong and show you all of the problems in technicolor about all of the things that are wrong and all of the things that are happening in a wrong way in America. But I can tell you that America is still a good nation. While in many ways we have turned away from our God, by no means has our nation completely abandoned the moral and spiritual values and ethics and standards upon which our nation was built. There are in this country still many good, patriotic, hardworking, honest, God-fearing people who love this nation. And many of them, all of them, are represented here in our sanctuary today. America may have its problems, but all is not lost in America. Our nation is still the land of the free and the home of the brave. America is still the most prosperous and generous and blessed and God-fearing nation on the face of the earth. America is still the most prosperous and generous, blessed nation in the history of our world. The American dream, that is the dream and the hope for a blessed and a prosperous life, is still alive. America is still the land of opportunity. No matter a person's background, no matter where they come from, no matter what they've had to overcome, by hard work and determination, law-abiding people and families in America can still build great lives in this country. America may have its problems, but there is still no place in this world like America. I tell people I have never been out of the confines of our country, except for the time that I spent some time in Texas. I love the people of Texas, and I went to seminary in Texas, and we spent some years in Texas. And they're a different breed. They're a breed apart. They think Texas is, you know, a separate nation. They just, by their graciousness, are a part of the United States of America. With all of the problems that we have, America is still a great nation. And despite what you hear, and you hear this often, the church in America is not dying. It is true that the percentage of Americans who attend church on a regular basis may not be what it has been in the past, but the total number of Americans who attend church on a regular basis has never been greater than it is today. And as long as there is a strong church in America, as long as there is a vibrant church in America, a church that is committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, a church that is committed to proclaiming and standing up for biblical faith and values, a church that is committed to sharing the love of Jesus Christ to those around them through acts of witness and service and love, all is not lost in America. And so there is much good in our country. But while all is not lost in America, all in America is not good either. There are many, many troubling things going on in our nation. I believe, and I'm just a shade tree Bible teacher and one who tries to understand the Word of God, I believe that we are in a very critical time in the history of our nation. Now more than ever, perhaps more than at any other time in the history of our nation, churches in America of every denomination must stand up, and we must point people back to God, back to the God who has blessed this nation, and the God who has made this nation's existence possible, the God who has protected this nation throughout its history. Today, like never before, the church in America must stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without apology. We must proclaim and practice the Word of God without compromise. We must boldly stand up and with courage, with a signal voice, call our nation to repentance and call our nation back to God. The hope of America is not in Washington, D.C. Lord have mercy, the hope of America is not in Washington, D.C. The hope of America is not in Atlanta or any other of the centers of government. The hope of America is not in Hollywood. It's not in our universities. It's not in the power centers of our elites. The hope of America is in the churches of America. And today, if the church doesn't stand up, then all in America could very well be lost. Today, America is facing dangers like we have never faced in our history. I grew up during the Soviet Union, the Cold War with the Soviet Union. I attended West Crisp Elementary School in Crisp County. Today, it's where Crisp Academy is located. Some of you may be familiar with Crisp Academy through sports events and things like that. And I remember we used to have drills when I was in elementary school, as if the Soviets had sent off some nuclear weapons and missiles toward us. And the drill consisted of this. We would get under our wooden desk. Now, those had to be some mighty good wooden desks to be able to withstand a nuclear blast that would hit possibly close by. We all celebrated when the Soviet Union fell apart. We thought, well, now we can have peace and security in our nation. But I can tell you today, but America is facing dangers like it has never faced before in history. First of all, there is an outward danger to our nation. Today, our nation has enemies in the world who possess nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction. The governments of these nations have no regard for human life. The people in these nations are different from the government that control these nations. And these nations, those who rule these nations, have no regard for human life. And we have enemies who have a burning hatred for the United States of America. The list of these nations would include Russia and China, North Korea. And the list will continue to grow in the years to come. But many people in these nations are good people, wonderful people. Many Christian people. Do you know that there are more Christians in China today than there are in the United States of America? The population of Christians in China is greater than the population of Christians in America today. By the way, you can thank a little old lady who was about 4'6" for a lot of that, the legacy of her life. Her name was Lottie Moon. But the governments who rule these nations, who control these nations, who control the resources of these nations, many of them have a burning hatred for the United States, and they want to see the U.S. fall. We are now living in the most dangerous time in human history. And the threat to America from weapons of mass destruction has never been greater. Apparently, not only conventional weapons can be used against our nation, but also biological weapons like a virus that can devastate our nation. Not only are we facing danger from countries who want to harm our country, we're also facing the danger of an ever-increasing danger from a wide variety and a wide number of terrorist groups and terrorist organizations who seek to do our nation harm. Many of these organizations are well-funded, they're well-organized, they're committed to doing harm to our country. You're saying, Brother Chris, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm just trying to be a realist. Now, thank God, America is not a defenseless nation against our enemies who would want to do us harm. Our nation has the most powerful, the most well-armed and well-equipped military in the world, and God bless them today. The United States of America is more than capable of defending itself and defeating any nation, any group, any terrorist organization that would come against us. Since the deployment of the first atomic bomb on the city of Hiroshima in August of 1945, America has enjoyed an aura of invincibility. But that aura of invincibility and the formidable military power of the United States may not be the deterrent that it once was against the enemies of our nation. Even if we did fend off and defeat an attacking nation, what would be the effect of that conflict on our country? And what if these nations decided to join in an unholy union and come together as an axis of enemies to attack our nation? Say, Brother Chris, don't scare me like that. Well, I'm just being a realist. You know, before you can deal with the problem, you've got to understand the reality of the problem. That's the outward danger to our nation, but there's also a growing inward danger to America. Even more dangerous than the external threats that our nation is facing, we are facing the internal dangers to the safety, security, and the ongoing existence of our nation. The spiritual and moral foundations upon which our nation was built, the spiritual and moral fibers that have held the fabric of our nation together throughout its history, those fibers are rapidly eroding and decaying in our nation. Proverbs 14:34 is true today, as it's always been true. Righteousness exalts a nation, makes a nation strong, but sin is a reproach and a threat to any people. America is number one in many ways, in many good ways, wonderful ways. But our nation also is number one in pornography and adultery and immorality and perversion and abortion, violent crime, drug abuse, political correctness, the destruction of family values. As Christian people, we're not ignorant of what is happening in America. We know that spiritually and morally things are not good in America, going from bad to worse. But because of our Christian faith and commitment, because we don't want ourselves or our families to be exposed to the filth that is going on in our nation, because we don't want to be a part of that which is destroying our nation, we seek to protect ourselves and our families rightly from the sin and the perversion that is going on in our country. And we're right to do so. But the truth is, most Christian people today would be shocked at the depths of sin and perversion that is going on in our nation. Someone has well said that if God does not judge America for the sin that is going on in our nation, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The spiritual and moral foundations that have supported and made this nation strong throughout its history are rapidly decaying. And we can see it before our very eyes. I liked old school television. Me and Miss Avis love Andy Griffith. Y'all forgive us for that, won't you? Barney Fife is my hero. You watch that old black and white television stuff and you see on the store window sometimes bread for 5 cents a loaf. You know, advertised. And you think, man, I wish America could kind of go back to something like that. And then you fast forward and you look at those supposed sitcoms of today and the filth. You know, when you laugh at sin, you can't take sin seriously. If you laugh at something, you can't take it seriously. And so many of the modern television programs, which is a reflection of where we are as a society, or where some want us to go, They are a reflection of the values of our nation. Why is the spiritual decay going on in America? Well, it is happening because in ever increasingly ways, America is turning its back on the God of the Bible. As a nation, we are turning our back on the God who made the founding of this nation possible and the God who has sustained us and protected us throughout our history. America has many problems, but the biggest problem America has is sin and a forsaking of God. When the foundation decays, that upon which it is built falls. The spiritual and moral foundation upon which our nation is built has been decaying, and if it does not stop, our nation will surely fall. So there's these outward dangers to our nation. There is these internal dangers to our nation. There's also an upward danger to our nation. The biggest danger to America is not from foreign powers. It is not from internal decay and corruption. The biggest threat to America, to our nation, is the judgment of God. God loves the nation of Israel. God chose the nation of Israel to be His chosen people. You know, it's amazing to me that the peace of the world depends on what happens in the little nation of Israel. Have you ever noticed that? A nation no larger than the state of New Jersey. And yet constantly, each and every day, it seems as if the peace of the world depends on what happens with Israel. Now, why isn't that true of a nation in South America or in Asia? We rarely, if ever, hear anything of what's going on in those nations, but daily we know what's going on concerning Israel and its neighbors. And by the way, as we will learn in our end time study, Israel still is God's chosen nation, and God still has a plan for the nation of Israel. God loves the nation of Israel. God chose the nation of Israel to be His chosen people. But that did not stop God from judging Israel for its sin. That did not stop God from using godless nations to run Israel away from its homeland for centuries. God's love for Israel did not stop God from keeping Israel away from their homeland, the land that He gave them. Well, God loves America. God has blessed America. God has protected America like He has done few nations. But that does not mean that God will not judge America if our nation does not repent and turn from its sinful ways. In fact, the judgment of God is already falling on America. The mess we have in Washington, D.C., the lack of good, honest, and godly leadership in Washington, D.C., is most definitely the judgment of God upon our country. Fewer and fewer of our elected officials and leaders are good and godly men and women who truly want to do what is best for our nation. More and more of our elected officials and leaders in Washington, D.C. seem to be more interested in personal gain and in political power than they are in providing good and positive leadership for our nation. And based on some of their proposals and some of their positions, you have to wonder if many of our elected officials and leaders in Washington, D.C. have not gone absolutely stark raving crazy. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, these very challenging verses tell us that when a nation turns its back on God, when a nation goes crazy with immorality, when a nation is awash in things like pornography and sexual immorality and fornication and adultery and perversion, when a nation becomes depraved and perverted in its thinking, when a nation advocates, appreciates, and celebrates what God calls sinful and wretched, when a nation depreciates what is virtuous and godly, when a nation is increasingly characterized by all of the sins that Paul lists in Romans 1, verses 29 through 30, when a nation accepts the fact that it's okay to kill a preborn human being, then you can be assured that the judgment of God will soon fall on that nation, and it will fall hard. Instead of fearing Russia and China and North Korea, we in America need to start fearing the judgment of Almighty God. We in America need to repent and come back to the God of the Bible, the God who has blessed and protected this nation. Men and women, we remember today and tomorrow, men and women who gave their lives for the freedom of this nation, and it seems as if we are committed to giving that freedom away. We must not allow that to happen. So you say, well, Brother Chris, you've painted an awful picture of what's happening in our country. Well, I've tried to be balanced. There's great hope for America. As long as there's people like you in America, there's hope for America. Amen? And we know that. People who love this country, people who are good, people who are positive, people who are willing to sacrifice. As long as there are people like this and like you and me and like a church like this, a church that loves God and is committed to preaching the gospel, there's hope in America, but there's danger signs as well. In the Old Testament, God was willing to spare Sodom if only 10 righteous people could be found there. Imagine that. Sodom and Gomorrah so caught up in terrible sins that God told old Abraham, if you can find just 10 righteous folks, I'll spare those communities for the sake of those 10. Couldn't find 10, so they were judged. The only reason God has spared America from greater judgment so far is that America is still the home of many Christians who love Him and love our nation. Now, those are fighting words to many people in America. If I ever get invited to be on Oprah's show and I say that, I'm going to be banned forever. The hope of America rests with the Christian people of America. Now we look at it and we see that the problem seems so big. So what can I do as an individual person for America? Well, there are individual things we can do, but you know, if we all do these individual things together, then that becomes a mighty force. What can we do? Well, first of all, we can pray for our nation. I believe in the power of prayer, don't you? I've seen God do wonderful things in response to prayers, my prayers, the prayers of other people. I believe God hears our prayers. And we need to pray for our nation. Secondly, we must participate in the political process. And we must let the Word of God be our voting guide. You know, every time we have an election, we get all these voting guides, and this person stands for this, this person stands for that. I believe God's people needs to take the Bible and let the Bible be our voting guide to determine who is the best candidate for us to vote for, who is closest to the values and the truth of the Word of God. So we must participate in the political process. You and I need to vote. We need to vote in the way that we think God would have us to vote, guided by the Word of God. Some of y'all need to run for office. I'd vote for you. No, I might even give you a dollar to help you out a little bit. We also must be salt and light in our nation. We can't be a part of the problem. We need to be a part of the solution. Salt and light, standing for biblical values, expressing those biblical values, being good neighbors, loving neighbors, as God gives us the opportunity, sharing our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be salt and light in our nation. We must stand up for biblical and godly values. Now, that's going to get you into trouble. See, this sermon will get me into trouble with a lot of people. You know, here's a guy standing in a pulpit talking about the Bible and how God has blessed America. That will get me in trouble with a lot of people. But it also, I believe, will be blessed by God. I'd rather please God than the crowd, wouldn't you? We must stand up for biblical and godly values. We must share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just the old, old story. The life-changing story of a Savior who came from glory, who took on humanity, who became like us, who gave His life for us after living a perfect life and taking our sins upon Himself. You say, Brother Chris, I don't understand that. Well, welcome to the club. I don't understand it either, but we're not saved by our understanding. We're saved by faith. putting our faith that Jesus died for our sins and He's the answer to a lost life and a lost eternity. We must demonstrate the love of Christ through acts of service and compassion, looking for those opportunities to be Christ to other people. We must be models and examples of godly living. We must strengthen our churches. You say, well, how do I strengthen my church? By being active and involved in the life of our congregation. I love the choir calling out some of y'all. It's time to get up here. I like that. Oh, we must be active and involved in the life of our church. Being in there. You say, well, what little bit I can contribute, I don't know what difference it will make. It will make a great deal of difference. Be active, be involved. This is a critical hour. And as we approach Memorial Day and as we remember those who have given their lives, we of course remember the one who gave His life for us in the greatest act of sacrifice, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to a little boy one time and I was sharing the gospel with him, trying to put it on a childlike level. Sharing Jesus with him. And so I went through the perfect life of Christ and how He died on the cross for our sins and quoted Him scriptures and how He rose from the dead and how His perfect life, His sacrificial death, His glorious resurrection, what it means to us that He took our sins upon Himself and He died for us. And if we put our faith and trust in Him, our sin debt to God will be paid finally, fully, forever, past, present, and future. And that your life now and your eternity depends so much on what you do with Jesus Christ. And the little boy looked at me and he said, how did He do that? I said, well, son, I don't know exactly how He did it, but I know He did it. And we're saved by faith. And if you'll ask Jesus to come into your life, He'll change your life forever. That little boy did it. As far as I know, that little rascal grew up into a big rascal, and he's still active and involved in loving the Lord and serving the Lord in a church. If you're not a Christian today, it is my very great privilege and honor to extend this invitation to you on behalf of the God of the universe. The God who made you and the God who loves you. You are on His mind and His heart. He knows everything there is to know about you. He loves you like He loves no one else in this world. He gave His life. His Son gave His life to make your life possible, your eternal life possible in this world and in the world to come. He will change your life. And He wants you to come and be saved. Whosoever will, let them come. He wants you to come today. So I invite you to come this morning. Come down front. Take me by the hand. I'll be happy to share with you what Christ can do for you. And I will ask you to receive Him as your Savior and Lord. Maybe you have other prayer needs. Maybe you have other things going on in your life and you want to go to an altar to pray. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Maybe there are other things that are happening that the Lord wants you to do and you need to respond today. I would invite you to come. But I would ask all of us to make a commitment this day to pray for our nation, to be salt and light in our nation. I love America. I still get a lump in my throat when I see Old Glory. It still moves me when I hear the national anthem sung as it should be sung. I still love our nation. I want it to prosper and be good because America, for so many people around the world, is the hope of the world. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do come before You today and we do remember the sacrifice and honor the sacrifice of men and women who in the history of our nation, the course of the history of our nation, gave themselves in sacrifice to protect our freedom and values. And there, I'm sure there are many in this congregation who personally know people who made that sacrifice, perhaps those very close to them. Today we remember them, we honor them. We pray for our nation, Father. We need revival. We need revival. The greatest need our nation has is for revival, a revival in the church and a spiritual awakening in our nation. Oh God, Do what you are famous for. Bring that revival, I pray. Let it begin today in this place. And may all who are here make a commitment that I'm going to love you greater in greater ways than I've ever loved you before. And I'm going to live for you in the days to come like I have never done before. And I'm going to love my church, and I'm going to be involved in my church like I have never been before. And I pray for the lost. You came to save the lost. You came to make it possible that the lost might be found. May they come this morning and put their faith in you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?
This morning is near to the heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us today. Let's not forget this Memorial Day weekend and those that have given their lives for it. And let's not forget what Brother Chris has preached about. Lord, our nation is going downhill. But us here and around this nation as Christians, we can make a difference. We need to stand up and make the difference so that other people can say, yeah, there's some hope. And we have that hope in Jesus. Anybody, any announcements or anything? Anything we need to remember? Be planning on Vacation Bible School, y'all. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Be telling your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, your next door neighbors, 5:30 to 8:30 starting next Sunday evening. We hope that they will come and bring all the kids because we're going to be here and we're going to have a good time. All right, if nothing else, then let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, once again, we come to you thanking you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this nation that you've blessed us with. And Lord, we pray that you will be with us as Christians in the days ahead, that we will continue to share your word and to tell others about you and what life as a Christian is like. Go with us throughout this day. Be with us throughout this weekend. And Lord, we do remember those who've given their lives so that we can live free. Forgive us for the many times when we fail you, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.